Lord, I just thank you so much, Father, for all that you're doing in all of us, Lord. I praise you and I love you, Lord. We all love you, Lord. We love you so much because we're able to walk out this faith walk that you've got us on, Lord. And I know at times it's hard. It seems hard until after we get through these trials. But after we get through the trials, you know, we wondered why it was so hard. And that's just the way you work. And Father, I just thank you for bringing us along, bringing us all the way to the point that you want us, Lord. And that's complete maturity in you. And I praise you for it, Lord, that every one of us that's listening tonight and participating tonight is striving to be a son of God, one of the sons of God. And that just means that we're mature in Christ, Lord. And I thank you for working that work in all of us. I praise you, Father, for that work. And Lord, I just ask that you anoint everybody here tonight to speak up and to say the things that's on their heart, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that you're answering prayers in our families, in our fellowships, in our people around us, Lord. That you're helping those people because our prayers are taking hold with you. And I thank you for it, Father. I ask and I pray, Father, that you drain the swamp up there in Washington, D.C. We prayed that prayer and we're thanking you for it, Father. We're thanking you that the Red Sea is going to cover all of Pharaoh's army here shortly. And we believe it. We've been praying for it. And we thank you for it, Father. And it looks like you're going to take us to a place to where it looks like there's nothing else that anybody can do because it looks like that they have taken over. But I know, Lord, that you'll get the glory when that happens. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a great time in you tonight, Lord. Let the revelations flow. And Lord, let our eyes and ears be open, our spiritual eyes and ears to be open to see what you have for us tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Has anybody got a prayer request?
Yes, I do. For my daughter, Jacqueline. She just sold her mobile home, and her old landlord at her mobile park is saying he's evicting her, even though it's all just sold this past 2 days. And we just need prayer for her that this order is turned down by the judge, because they're trying to make money, extra money off of her, because the manager here couldn't sell it on his own. She had to go outside, you know, from an investor, you know, to buy the mobile home. And we just want things to go smoothly for her. They just don't want her to live with me because I live in the same park with her. Mm-hmm. So it's like once they do an eviction, you know, they'll call the cops on her if she's on the premises. So this is really, really scary right now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, y'all want prayer or you want me to pray?
Yeah. Could you pray for her, please?
Yes, yes, ma'am. What's her name?
My name is Peggy.
No,
her name is Jacqueline. Jacqueline Gonzalez.
Okay. All right. Well, Father, we lift up Jacqueline to you, Lord. And we ask and we pray, Lord, that your favor for her goes out in this situation, Lord, that everything would be as Peggy said, Lord, that she would be get this trailer sold, and I'm not real sure all of the things that I'm supposed to be praying for, but Lord, I know that you do, and I'm thanking, Lord, that you're going to place her in favor with all the parties involved, and everything's going to work out just exactly like Jacqueline and Peggy and Chris want it to, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that at the end of this, they'll see that it was you, because they can't do anything about it. It has to be you, just like you've done in the past so many times, Lord. When we're at our weakest, you're at your strongest, Lord. And we submit it all to you, surrender it to you, and we thank you, Lord, that it's going to work out for the better for everybody in Jesus' name. Do y'all believe that?
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Me too.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Lord. All right. You quit pinching that baby, Anna. Don't make me come through that screen at you, girl. Tim's watching you too. Mm-hmm. That's right. Papa's watching too, so y'all better be careful there now. I tell you what, Tim, that boy's a hoot, man. He's a hoot. She's gonna turn herself off now. She don't want me to talk about her. All right, that's okay. Still talk about it. All right, anybody else got a prayer request? Or a testimony? Or a praise report? Or would like to sing a song?
Yeah, Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah, we prayed for my shoulder here a few days ago, and I re-injured that shoulder again now. It was getting better, but it's worse now, and I'd like you to pray for it again.
Okay. All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we command the pain to come out of his shoulder, Marlon's shoulder, right now in Jesus' name. We command strength in that shoulder that the next time he has an altercation with it, it ain't going to hurt him a bit in the world because it's strengthened by your will, Lord, by your faith, by our faith in you, Lord, our trust in you. And we thank you, Father, that Marlon's shoulder is healed, delivered, and it's set free because he can do whatever he wants to from this point on in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that he's raising his arm and there is no pain in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That thing is healed, brother. Praise God. You know, I'm seeing answers to prayer. Not me personally, but I'm seeing it from everybody. Prayer is being answered almost immediately now. It's just amazing to me. Just amazing. Praise God. Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Leon. I didn't know if you was praying or you raised your hand.
I did raise my hand. I wanted to share with Marlon a little bit. I have had shoulder problems for years, and I'm doing a job where I had to hammer and chisel out some concrete a couple of weeks ago, and when I started chiseling, I got about 6 inches chiseled out, and my shoulders just hurt like crazy. But I got up and I prayed and asked the Lord to heal me and stop it, and I did something else, and I came back, and my shoulders didn't hurt. I started chiseling again, and my shoulders didn't even hurt, and they still don't hurt, even a couple of weeks later. So I would recommend you go chisel something real quick, and that'll heal that up.
Yeah. You better pray first.
Well, it works.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
Okay, after the outreach on Tuesday, I talked to Michael again, and because after he had prayed for me and I had that headache, I was feeling better for just a little bit, and then it started coming back at me. And I was like, in the middle of the outreach, I was asking the Lord questions. I'm like, did I do something? Cast lots. Two heads for a yes. I'm like, okay, is it sin? Yes. Give me a yes on that. And I'm like thinking, and I know I've been really struggling with condemnation lately. And basically the gist of it was, is I allowed the enemy to come in and condemn me, and I was receiving, I received what he said, which, you know, then you have this unbelief in everything because you can't have faith, you know, with condemnation. Anyway, so I talked to Michael after the outreach again, and I was just, you know, spilling my guts, and half, you know, in tears and everything. And I have to tell something funny, because one time I was talking to Michael. I don't remember when it was or whatever. I think it was when I was down in Tennessee. I was talking to him on the phone, and my voice was cracking. He says, "Are you crying?" I'm like, "Yeah, a little bit." He says, "Oh, don't do that. I don't know what to do when women do that." But anyway, but he didn't give me that speech anyway. So, but as I was talking to him and I was just like repenting and confessing and stuff like that, I was just like feeling better, you know. And then by the time I got done talking to him, you know, I was just like, pumped up and joyful and stuff. And, you know, I was just talking to him a little bit too about, you know, what was going on with Blake and all, and how I'm, you know, so really, happy about that, you know, for him and everything. But anyway, but then, you know, by the time I got done talking to him, that, you know, it was barely even there, and it just went quickly. So, yeah, that condemnation can do a number on you. So you just got to really be careful and not receive what the enemy tells you. So praise the Lord.
Yeah, he likes to get us off on rabbit trails a lot of times through condemnation and things like that. And we just have to, and if you need to call somebody, call somebody. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Thank you, Missy. Anything else, girl?
I don't think so.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord that I ain't got anything else to say.
That's
that
right. Well, no. I wouldn't. I wouldn't say
okay,
that.
Michael.
I wouldn't say that at all.
It just really bugs me that I gotta look at this UBM blue picture and not see your face.
Get used to it.
Is it gonna be that way from now on?
Well, no, just when I'm in Arkansas.
Okay, bless y'all.
All right. Anybody else? Anybody got a testimony or praise report? Let me see here. I'm going to mute you, Chris. There we go. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about tonight?
I had a quick dream the other night.
Oh, let's hear it.
Well, it was like I was going in and out of sleep, and I'm like seeing like pictures, whatever, and I saw a screenshot. I believe it was the Stewarts. They're sitting on their couch, and I see, it was just like real quick, like 3 seconds, I see big giant wings coming out from both of them, like one big pair, and they're like see-through-ish, kind of, and then all of a sudden it just ended real quick, and that was it.
What did you see? What did you see coming out of them?
Two big wings.
Oh, get out of town. Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They were like see-through-ish. You can see through them, and they were pretty big.
Awesome.
And I'm like, yeah, I was thinking maybe that was like they were given the wings of an eagle to go to the wilderness. That's what I was thinking it was, man.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Now, I hope they're not listening. That's a good dream. Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. Amen. Yeah, they are pretty good people. Pretty good.
Yeah.
I can see that. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hello, all Michael.
Right. Hi, Gano.
I have a question on a verse that I got the other day. See what you think about it.
Oh, boy. What verse is it?
The verse I got was 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2, but I guess my question was the one on verse 3, but I'll start with verse 2. That's the one I was given. Or know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world is judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Anyway, my question was, you know, I thought we weren't to judge the world because they would be without rather than, you know, in the church. And then about judging angels. How would we judge an angel?
Well, the world will be judged by believers at the end of the age, you know.
At the end of the age. Okay.
Yeah, they're in the millennial reign.
I was just thinking, but we weren't to judge the world, and so I was kind of, okay, so this is talking about the end?
Yeah,
then?
They're probably talking about the millennial. Now, if somebody else has got something else, that's what it came to me. Yeah, go ahead, David.
I wonder if judging is a little more than what we attribute it to be. It's not like a condemnation judging as much as it might be. You're more of a counselor role sometimes too, because the judges, you see them in the Old Testament, they weren't necessarily judging people as much as they were kind of like almost a direction, kind of a person, someone that is like a go-between between the Lord and them, and they'd hear from the Lord. So I don't always look at judging as when they say it, judging in those ways, to think of where we're looking somebody up and down. We're actually maybe doing God's work, doing His will.
Okay. Yeah. Looky here. Now, if we look at the context of this thing. Yeah, Andrew, you want to say something?
Chapter 14 is a chapter that talks about people who might be young in the Lord and how we're not to. But there's 14:13, and you know, this is to protect the whole ball of wax, and not the whole ball of wax, but all people. You know, you have to sometimes come out and say something when you know something is wrong, and you're in a position. Some of you look old enough to be patriarchs of the family, or even patriarchesses of a family. So you have to sometimes make a good judgment call. And in 14:13, it says, "Let us therefore judge one another." Let us therefore judge one another no more, but judge this rather, that no one stumbling, that no stumbling block be put in the brother's way for an occasion of falling. So there is things that you guys know about that perhaps may cause a falling away in the future for people who would adhere to some prophecy that would be a false warning to them, and a false consoling, and a false edification. And so it's you have to be making this 14:13 of Romans judgment call for someone who might be listening by, and this is misinformation. So it's there is a time where you have to look after oneself, but you also, if you're in a position of leadership, you got to look after your family too, or your children, to make the right call for certain judgments. And I think that's why this verse is in Romans, because it's talking about these people who are servants of the Lord in the first four verses. And you know, there has to be something said when something needs to be said.
Well, he's talking about believers here.
Yeah, yeah.
And that verse said, and we are to judge believers. Mature men and women of God can do that. Mature men can do it. They can judge.
But yes, I thought that, but I, you know, in the verse that I got, it was judging the world, and that was why I kind of questioned, you know, how the saints shall judge the world.
Yeah, but.
But I see what you mean, you know, I do. Yeah.
Go
but
ahead,
how
Andrew.
About the judging of angels?
Well, there could be some false messages told to you by even brethren. Mm-hmm. who are in the Lord, but they're not mature, really. Like, I remember you guys talking about babies and beards, and you got to sort of put a grain of salt to it so that this doesn't come into you. So you're not really judging them or speaking against them. You have to defend one's own integrity and one's own Christ in you, and perhaps in a light manner, maybe get a verse from the Lord and tell them, like, well, what about this, for trying to correct them, depending on how volatile, I guess, they are in their belief.
Amen.
That's just my opinion, anyway.
So what you're referring to, Andrew, is that angels could be messengers of God.
Well, a message.
Oh, a message. Yeah, okay.
A messenger could be from God, but it's also there are messengers that are. And messages that are not from God.
That's right.
You know, so
I'll go along with that. Yeah.
What is right, you know. Usually when you get something from someone, it pop into your head, whether it's right or wrong.
Amen.
Okay, thank you.
Did that answer your question?
I think so.
Okay. Go ahead, Leon.
Well, I think the angels that we're going to judge are demonic, the fallen angels, the one-third of the angelic host that fell with Satan at that time. And they're subject to judgment. But this judgment that they're talking about here, before that, they're talking about judgment in this life, you know, and taking your things to be judged to the unsaved, and that's incorrect. He says, isn't there anybody among you that's mature enough to judge between you? And so forth. And then he talks about, judging the angels. He said, you're going to judge the world. Eventually, you're going to judge the world. And you mentioned that in the 1,000-year reign of Christ, we will be part of that group, and we will judge the world. And then when the fallen angels come later, we'll judge them as well. So that's what I get from it.
Amen. Yeah, that's a couple of layers there that could be
right.
That could be used. And in the context, though, he's talking about brothers against brothers in lawsuits and stuff. And like Andrew said, when you have immature Christians out there, they do that sometimes, and therefore the judgment should come in.
Right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else want to comment on that? Okay. Anybody else got something? A question or something? or a comment? What did y'all think about the eclipse? I thought it was dark, didn't y'all? It was dark where I was. I had turned my lights on right in the middle of the day. I wondered what in the world was going on, man. I'm going down I-40 and everything just turned black. The dogs laid down and the squirrels went in their nests and chickens quit the hollering and laid up and went to sleep. And here I am going down I-40 with my headlights on at 2:30 in the afternoon. I said, my gracious. Lord, the world is coming to an end. Go ahead, Leon.
And it got cool.
Well, I had the air conditioner going, so I couldn't feel it. And I'll tell you something else that happened. I thought the world was coming to the end. It took me 11 hours to get to Arkansas that day. 11 hours, glory to God. I knew that's something about that eclipse that wasn't right. You know what it was? It was all the people that come down here to watch that stupid eclipse that happened for a minute and a half, you know. Spent all that money to drive down here and then held up everybody all that rest of that afternoon trying to get somewhere. Go ahead, Matt.
I just got a question real quick.
I ain't murmuring. Don't get me wrong. I ain't murmuring. I'm just saying it like it is. Go ahead, Matt.
You use the AC in your vehicle?
Huh?
You use the AC in your vehicle?
I'm going to mute you right now. You're out of here, buddy.
Granted, this is the person when we came down and visited in Tennessee and stayed with Michael and David, you know. They turned the AC on to about, what was it, 75 or something like that, Michael?
Who did?
You did.
No, I did. I keep it on 78, 79, somewhere along in there.
Well, when we came down, it was like at 75 or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And
then the next morning, Michael wakes up and goes, boy, it's cold. I had icicles hanging down from
the bed. I did. I don't know what it is that you northern people that y'all got. Y'all just, Man, that's okay. I acclimated myself.
Some of us, Michael, some of us were sitting in front of our computer screens waiting for our monitors to go dark because it was supposed to be an eclipse.
I wonder how many YouTube clips there are on YouTube about the eclipse. Probably thousands. Yeah. Probably so. Amen. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about? What about these sons of God? What is a son of God? A son. What are the sons of God?
Mature Christians, I would say.
Amen. One is a mature Christian. You're right. Now, is that somebody that's a spiritual son of God or a physical son of God? Yeah, David.
That's going to be the spiritual son of God.
Yep.
But also,
there was only one. There was only one Son of God in the flesh, right?
Correct.
Okay.
It's going to be a thing by faith right now. We're looking for the manifestation.
Amen. Amen. We're looking for the manifestation. How do we get that manifestation?
Believing for the promises that Jesus is going to come in us.
Amen. The way I look at it, you know, when you read the Word, you study the Word, and you absorb it, so to speak, into yourself, and we spiritually eat the Word of God, and that's eternal, right? That recreates in us the Son of God by faith. And you know something? The Son of God in us, as we mature and become that Son of God, that's eternal, right? It's eternal. We're always going to be that way. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, you don't have, just like Melchizedek, I was looking at that today. Melchizedek didn't have an end, it didn't have a beginning, did he? He's eternal. Just like Jesus too, as the Son of God, he had no end, he had no beginning. Well, you know what I'm talking about, spiritually speaking. He did as the Son of Man, but as the Son of God, he didn't. And when we go to heaven, we're going to be eternally the Son of God, right? From now on. That's when Jesus is recreated in us. And like Dave was talking about, when you become the sons of God, you know, this latter rain that's coming to the first fruit sons of God, man, that's going to be awesome. It's going to be just like Jesus. Remember what happened to Jesus? He went out. He had to prove himself to the Lord. He did. He proved himself out in the wilderness and got out there. And man, he came back. He was ready for bear. And that's the way we're doing it right now. The Lord's doing it in each one of us right now to become that Son of God. You know, there's a lot of us that are fasting and praying. And I believe at the end of this little trial that we're going through with this fasting and praying, it's going to bring a lot of people into one accord. I don't believe we're the only ones that are doing that. I believe there's a lot of people out there that's doing this all over the world. And I believe at the end it's going to be I'm just speculating in my part, okay? It's not something that the Lord has given me, but I remember what happened at Pentecost when they all prayed and they fasted those 10 days before the Holy Spirit swept through there and filled them all up, you know. And then what happened after that? Revival, wasn't it? Wasn't there a revival after that? 3,000 people got saved when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And according to Eve's dream or vision, I don't remember which it was, that at the end of this fast, people are going to be healed, delivered, and saved in our families and the people around us, in our fellowships. But you know why? Because of all the people that are doing this in one accord. We're praying for the same thing. And we're talking about the Red Sea. I mean, we were talking about earlier about Trump and all of this, or I was praying about it. About what it looks like to me, you know, it looks like if you read the news that the deep state has pretty much taken over the White House. And that's when what happened to Moses, they got him boxed in, and that God had him boxed in there where it looked like there was no way out. And then God showed himself strong. And I believe that's what we're fixing to see here. I believe we're fixing to see that Red Sea coming over. Because of the prayers of the saints, the praying and the fasting of the saints, we're going to see that. And you're going to see the people that you've been praying for come to life in Jesus. I just have that feeling that this may be it. So anyway, because the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God are praying and fasting and believing, that's another key part, and trusting, believing, having faith, and trusting God. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
You know, talking about, you know, Jesus was the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. And he was given authority over the enemy at, you know, like when he was tempted after he fasted for 40 days, he was given authority being the Son of Man, not the Son of God. And just like we, you know, he's passed that to us, being, you know, sons of God by faith. But, you know, part of coming into that, being transformed into the image of the Lord, is, you know, doing that spiritual warfare against the enemy, because the enemy is the one, he's the only one that can keep you from being transformed into the Lord's image. And it's by faith, you know, it's by God's grace, and it's having faith, believing that it's already done. And there's a lot of spiritual warfare behind that, you know. Just like, you know, I was just telling about, you know, the battle I had with, you know, the whole condemnation thing. You know, if you let the enemy tell you those things, you know, that are contrary to God's promises, you know, and you don't cast down every reasoning and imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and take captive every thought unto the obedience of Christ, you know, it's not going to happen. But anyway, having said that, I don't know how I kind of got off on that rabbit trail. That is, it's kind of like, I guess, a prelude to this, because the Lord's gotten my attention here lately now and then about, when I read the word, you know, it says about Son of Man, you know, and the Lord got my attention about, I think it's Matthew 24:30, about when he comes on the clouds, when he comes in his parousia, he's coming, it says he comes as the Son of Man, not the Son of God. He doesn't say that. He says the Son of Man comes on the clouds, not the Son of God, you know. And I kind of pondered that also. So basically what I'm getting to is this, you know, in Proverbs 8, where it talks about, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. The word, there's a footnote there, possessed also means formed. And we know that in Colossians it says he's the firstborn of all creation and the firstborn from the dead. Okay, so I'm like, okay, here in Proverbs 8 and 22, starting in 22, and it also says, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, before the earth was, when there was no depth, I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the beginning of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he set a circle upon the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the fountains of the deep became strong, when he gave to the sea its bound, that the waters should not transgress his commandment, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his habitable earth, and my delight was with the sons of men. And you were saying, Michael, you said about that, he's the Son of God, and that we're sons of God spiritually. He was a son of God physically, but saying that he was the Son of God physically is also, isn't that saying that he was the Son of God but physically he was the son of man, but he came in the flesh, you know. He dwelt among us like in the flesh or whatever is what it says there in John. But anyway, what I'm saying here, asking by reading this in Proverbs 8:22-31, okay, is that, because it sounds like he, it's saying here, you know, like it says in Colossians about that he was the firstborn of all creation. Saying that he's the firstborn of all creation, and you said that Jesus always spiritually existed, but not as physically existed. So here in Proverbs 8, is this talking about him being the firstborn of all creation and that him being the Son of Man? Because God, when he created man, everything he did, he spoke it into being, and it was all with God. There's no time. And so him being the firstborn of all creation, is that meaning about him being the firstborn son of man? But also he was the only begotten son. You know, he was, I'm like, this is like blowing my mind because I started, the wheels started turning.
Well, you couldn't
tell it. You
know
what I'm asking?
Do
you understand what I'm asking?
Not really, but we'll try to hammer through it. Let me see here.
Okay, here in Proverbs, is it talking about him being
the firstborn of creation?
Yeah, that means
God created him first, didn't he?
Right.
And then he created everything else behind it. So, okay, there
right.
We go. We got that all behind us. Now what?
Okay, so
can I help?
Yeah, go ahead, Kim.
Well, okay, he was in the Father, and then if you look at John 20:21, it says, Jesus there said unto them again, peace be as Father hath seen me, even as unto you. And then verse 22, and when he said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive the Holy Spirit. So in that way, he was brought out of the Father through the Holy Spirit, which is a breath. The Father breathed him out in the beginning, and he was the Word. You know, your words are come from your breath. So he was the Word of God. He was in the Father. And when the Father started to speak at the beginning, in the first verse, he said, let there be. That's when Jesus was brought forth. He was in the Father. The Father spoke. The Holy Spirit, with his breath, brought him forth. That's where, you know, he says, because he said there, where was it? Peace be to you, as the Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And he breathed on him. So in the same way, that's how Jesus was brought forth in the beginning. That's the way I see it.
Very well said. Anybody else?
Okay, so you earlier you said, Michael, that Jesus, the Son, is eternal, okay? He doesn't have a beginning and he doesn't have an end. That is, as the Son of God, right?
Okay.
Spiritually, that's what you're saying, right? As the Son of God, he didn't have a beginning or an end. But as the Son of Man being born, taking on flesh, he has a beginning, which it's talking about here in Colossians, being the firstborn of all creation. Do you understand what I'm asking?
Go ahead, David. Maybe you can filter through some of that.
Well, Jesus had an existence before he took on the body of flesh.
Amen.
Disagree
right.
with that. He got the body of flesh so he could be Son of Man also. He was born as man. If he didn't get born as man through the line of David, he could not really come in and be our Savior. He had to be born of flesh also, just like we are. And because of that nature, now he has the authority of man, because God created man to be, didn't have the dominion of the earth. Well, when Jesus came as a man, now he gets to be the second Adam. He carries over from where the first Adam failed. He is flesh, but he's also spirit. We're flesh, we're also spirit.
Right.
Jesus also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and so do we. We do all, Jesus is the prime example of everything we're going to be and coming into. So everything Jesus had is what we have also. And we're coming, now our job is to become Son of Man and have our spirit become just like Jesus' spirit, so that we have the Son of God, which we are also, in this flesh of Son of Man, and we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit to help us fulfill that, just like Jesus did. Now, we're all waiting to come into manifestations of the Son of God, which is the fullness, the completeness of Christ. That, when we see that at the end of time, or when the sons of God again will be presenting themselves, so to speak, at the end of time, then we'll see that full manifestation. We'll see Jesus as he is, because we'll see him in that mirror. That cloudiness will be taken away. Or upon death. Like just when you see, we had, I always forget that guy's name that went up to heaven shortly and saw Jesus. I mean, we're basically just redoing everything Jesus did. We came in the flesh first, and we're getting born in the spirit. Jesus already had that born again spirit, and he came into the flesh. So he was already fully manifested, Son of God. All he had to do is do what we did. He overcame the flesh, and then he's here to help us, because he is able to do that, to do the same thing. He's here to help us manifest that same thing. We just have to believe for it. And we get the baptism of the Holy Spirit like he did to help us have that power to overcome. Somebody else can go out, since I'll have another angle from that.
So, okay. So when it talks about here, you know, and it also talks, you know, this is kind of talking about wisdom, that basically that it's talking about the Lord being the wisdom of God, like it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in Proverbs 8 here, it's it's talking about, you know, wisdom, and the Lord is the wisdom of God. But anyway, so my question is here, 22 to 31, is that talking about Jesus, is it talking about the Lord there is in being, because this is like really making my head go tilt. Is it talking about the Lord here, because it says, you know, he was possessed, he was formed, you know, he had a beginning here is what it's saying. So in other words, this is talking about him being the Son of Man and not the Son of God right here. As the Son of, it almost sounds like, because him being the Son of God, he had no beginning and no end, right? He always existed. He was eternal, from what I understand so far. Okay. So here it's saying he has a beginning. So does that mean him being born a Son of Man? It's talking about him coming in flesh, the Son of God being coming in flesh. He humbled himself and became, you know, like it says in Philippians.
Let's give Leon a shot at it. He got his hand up there. Go ahead, Leon.
Okay. He was existent in God forever. That's where he has no beginning and no end. And when he turns the kingdom back over to God, he'll still exist. You know, you understand what I'm saying? So he was there with God all along. But he was a created being in that he was manifested out of God and became, it was a spiritual manifestation in heaven that he did all these things that you read in Proverbs. See, he was the master, how did it put it? He was the master carpenter, or it didn't say that, but he was the master builder. So he did all of this stuff himself. But he was manifested out of God in the very beginning. So he was a spiritual, he was the Son of God at that point. He wasn't the Son of Man until he came and was born of the Virgin Mary.
Right.
So does that make sense to you? Does that answer your question?
I don't know. I'm here looking in 1 John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same in the beginning. In the
right.
beginning with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. And then when you go to 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory, his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Right.
So.
So, but it says there in that text that you just read, he was God. He was with God, and he was God. So he proceeded forth out of God, is what that's trying to convey to you. He
right.
proceeded forth out of God. He was always existent in God, but mm-hmm. at some point at the beginning of the creation, he proceeded forth out of God. And that's why it says again that he did all these things in Proverbs 8, because nothing was created except what he created. Nothing was created without him, you know? So.
Also to consider is we all died in Adam. When Adam sinned and he died, we all died at that point. You know, we were in Adam before we were ever born. That's an interesting concept. Well, Jesus was in the Father the same exact way. But when we find we're birthed, we were birthed. Well, Jesus was birthed by the Father. And it's an interesting observation. Then the beginning of creation is with Jesus, because you see him alongside God building. Together they're doing this. Jesus is doing, but he's also watching the Father. They're together doing this together. It's kind of a seamless thing. They're doing it. And that's the relationship. That's that nature, character, and authority thing. That's that thing about God being with God. But at the same time, Jesus said, the Father is greater than I, even though he's fully God. Well, you know, Jesus is greater than we are, but when we manifest our sonship, we're still God. When we fully manifest sonship, we will be God also. That's interesting. We may not be as great as Jesus, but we're still God. Not that we're God the Father, but we are sons of God. Because to be a son of God, each creates or each manifests its own kind. That's what a son of God is.
Yeah.
Well, also, eternal. The word eternal might be messing with you, Missy. It doesn't necessarily mean eternal past and future. It can be just because we're eternal, but we're, you know, we were not always, you know, we were never like, you know, like God. We weren't always, but from a point of our birth, we're eternal or future. But the word eternal doesn't have to be past and future. It can be either one. So maybe that eternal word is messing with you a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah.
You said it really good once, Missy, about eternity. Didn't you give us an overview of that?
Well, the beginning.
Don't get her into teaching, Dave.
What's that?
I told David, don't be getting her into teaching now. We're going to have a little judge.
No, this is just a revelation.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, Jesus is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. But also, God sees the end from the beginning. Here's the beginning. Here's the end. Here's the beginning. Here's the end. And really, when he spoke everything in the spoke everything into being, really, it was all done and accomplished. It's just a matter of coming in time, because with God, there is no time. It's just now being, if you want to use the word manifesting, in time now. But really, with God, there is, he sees the end from the beginning, and really there's nothing in between there, because with him there is no time. So he sees the beginning and the end really as one thing, because when he said it, it was done. But it's just now, in time, through our faith, you could say, it's manifesting. What God promises, when we believe his promises, it's being manifested in time now. Anyway, that's just, yeah, it's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah. And just to show you a little bit about how we become that, y'all remember the parable of the sower over in Matthew 13. Y'all remember what that word seed means? It means sperma. The sower sowed the sperma to bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. So if we're unto the Christ, that could be the anointed, because he's saying that we are those that he anointed because of that anointing of Jesus, he said, upon it, he put upon it. we are anointed. That word anointed is the same word that Jesus spoke. But y'all remember when he read out of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me? So Jesus is the anointed, and his body is the anointed. He left an individual body, y'all heard this 100 times or more, in order to come back in a corporate body so he could do to the whole world what he did back in the Middle East. That was the whole point. That was the glorious work of God. He established us into Christ. We are the anointed because we are in him. And you know, it's Christ in you and you in Christ. Just like he said in John 17, verse 21, that they may all be one. Listen to this. Even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us. Eternal. Eternal. This is what everybody wants to call a mystery. But the more of Christ we get in us, the more we are anointed, right? So we need to just receive what he received when he was anointed. We need to be receiving that power of the Holy Spirit. And what happened when Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit? He became Christ then, didn't he? After he was anointed. After he was anointed by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? You know, that's one of the reasons that Christ went to the cross, is so that we could become like him. The easy way, without having to go to the physical cross. Well, all we have to do is go to the spiritual cross and deny flesh and deny the world. Now, I know that we can say it real easy, but boy, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes it's a little bit hard. When you don't want to get rid of all of the world out of you don't want to get rid of all the flesh out of him. But if you love Jesus, you're willing to allow him to do that for you. And he'll do it for you. He's doing it in people right now. Amen. Y'all remember when Jesus was talking, David was talking about when they came across in this Bible study about the 42 generations down to Jesus, and they only found 41. And then he had the revelation from God that we are the 42nd generation. We're all of God's chosen after Jesus is that 42nd generation. If we abide in him, then we, of course, are that corporate body on earth. Galatians 3:28 says there can be neither Jews nor Greek. There can be neither bond nor free. There can be no male and female. For ye all are one man in Christ Jesus. And if ye are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. There it is again. Heirs according to the promise. We become heirs to the promise according to what enters our hearts. It works in us, the faith, to receive all of those benefits of the kingdom and to walk just like Jesus did. And that's him. Yeah, go ahead, Kurt.
I'm sorry I raised my hand, but I don't think he ever saw it.
No, anyway, I still don't see it. But go ahead.
Okay. Isn't there a scripture that says there was no beginning to the Father, that he was pre-eternal and post-eternal? Like, that's the only way I know how to say it. But there was a beginning to Christ. I mean, he was the first born of creation, and then everything was created through him. I mean, that's the teachings that I remember, you know, from his teachings earlier.
Yep.
The point I'm trying to make is that the Father had no beginning. He was eternal before, and he's eternal hereafter. But Jesus wasn't. He was the firstborn of the Father, or the firstborn of the creation. And then through him, everything was created. At least that's the way I understood it.
Sure. Yeah, that's right. What's eternal? That's before creation and through all of that and from now on. So Jesus was eternal as far as we're concerned, right?
Well, I'm just saying what the scriptures say. You know,
yeah.
That he was begotten of all creation.
That's right.
But it does state that the Father always was. There was no beginning to him. He was eternal before, and he's eternal after. But it doesn't say that about Jesus. You know, I mean, he was born of man, yes, but that was, you know. Anyway, that was my two cents, I guess.
Amen. I'm not disagreeing with you a bit.
Well, I'm just, you know, I've been in David's teachings for many years, and that's the way that I've understood it. You know, the only thing that I know to do is ask David is if what I said is, I mean, it should be in the scriptures. Because that's what David teaches from, is the scriptures.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's disagreeing with you.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't have said anything because that's not what I was hearing earlier from other people, that, you know, Jesus was in the Father always.
Go ahead, David.
Well, it's not like they're trying to take away from creation, I don't think. They're just trying to say Jesus came forth from the Father, so he came out of the Father. They weren't trying to say in any way that Jesus didn't have a beginning, because he's the beginning of creation. But at the same time, we know the Father is and always has been in eternity, but Jesus was born in eternity, and that started the creation. So even though creation started, it was in eternity. And time started with man, when the rest of the earth and all that stuff. And I'm not even sure the reality is, not that I know this, but just speculation that there might not have been really, and for man, time on that have been an issue until Adam sinned. And then all of a sudden, then you have where everything starts to degrade. The man was given so many years to live. I don't know. It's an interesting, you know, was creation subject to time and before sin?
I kind of look at it like this, that Jesus is the Word of God, but there was a time when the Father didn't speak. You know, he just first spoke at the beginning. And before that, Jesus was in the Father. But when he spoke, that's when Jesus was brought forth out of the Father. So that's kind of the way I look at it.
So that's pretty much what I thought we'd always been talking about there, is that he is eternal in the like David said, he's eternal because he was brought forth before creation. Okay. And also, Ken is right too, that the Lord had him in his mind all the time. Go ahead, Liam. Maybe you can shed some light on this.
Well, I just wanted to say that time began in chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning. So if there's a beginning, there has to be time there. So that's when time began. Before that, there was no beginning. So we can all, that was when God thought about us, and he created, in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth, and that was for us. And that's what started that ball rolling. The thing that I said earlier, I wasn't trying to say that Jesus always was, but he always was in the Father. Now, God is eternal, and Jesus being in the Father is also eternal because of that. Melchizedek had no beginning, no end. That means eternal. So he had to be, he couldn't have been just created like a slash in the time. He had to be in the Father before that. So that's what I was saying.
Well, I think that's what David was talking about, and Ken was talking about, and I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that works. Okay, let's see what Wade wants. Go ahead, Wade.
Yes, I remember that David Eales mentioned about, you know, where it's Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, that Everlasting Father was Father of Eternity. And that was speaking of Jesus.
Okay.
That's all I asked.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think we've all come to a consensus here that Jesus was before time, which made him no beginning, as far as beginning goes, as a spirit. And then once time came, 4,000 years passed by, and he born of a man, through a man, from God, which made him a son of man, and also son of God. Now, I'm just putting it real simple here, okay, because I'm just an old farm boy from Arkansas, and that's the only way I know how to talk. And once he came, he then gave the anointing to man through his crucifixion and going back up to the Father and interceding on our behalf, as we all know this. And then that's when we got to, that's when the Pentecost came, you know, and the 120 that were up there fasting and praying, and then the Holy Spirit came on them. Then they were anointed with Jesus, a whole bunch of Jesus, a whole bunch of the Father, a whole bunch of the Holy Spirit, all of that. And so that's what God wants us to aspire to, is to be like Jesus and to do just like the original first century church did, went out and had signs and wonders following them, filled with the Holy Spirit, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, and preaching the word of God. Okay, let's see. Wade, you got your hand up again? Go ahead, brother. Do you have your hand up, Wade? No, I guess not. And that's just a simple version of it. Missy, are you sufficiently straightened out yet?
I think. I'm not absolutely sure.
Okay, well, just like Ken was talking about, the Lord was, well, let's see, he's got his hand up. Go ahead, Ken. Do you have your hand up, Ken?
Yeah, I did. I just had to unmute myself. I forget to do that.
Okay.
Colossians 2:9, this is along the same lines of being the Son of God, what we had in him. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in him we are made full. So that means that we are part of the Godhead. There's the Father, and there's the Son, and there's the body of Christ. We're part of that's in that same way. That's how we can judge the angels, I think, because they were never given that position. That's kind of what I think about that.
Okay. All right. Where was that? Colossians, what?
2:9. 2:9.
Yeah, Colossians 2:9. Because he said before, in some place else, he said, for which of the angels did he call a son of God? So we're in a big position, and I think that's probably why Satan rebelled, is because he wanted that position, or even more. He was pretty jealous, I think, when God said that, and give the saints that kind of authority, be part of the Godhead. I mean, just think, part of the Godhead, wow. I think the jealousy played a role in his fall. That's kind of what I think about that.
Amen. That's a good verse there.
I was just going to say that another term for Godhead is divinity.
Yeah. Amen. All right.
There was a verse in the Old Testament where the creature, I can't remember this name, the Cephrium or something like that, was flying around the throne saying, holy, holy, holy. And then people say that's the Trinity. Well, kind of it's the Trinity. It's the Father, the Son, and the body of Christ. It's not the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit like the Catholics always like to say, and everybody else really that I've run into. They've always said it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But it's the Father, Son, and the body of Christ.
Amen. I like that. Go ahead, Leon. Yeah, I said go ahead, Leon. How many times, like I said, go ahead. Turn your microphone on, talk. You done raised your hand. I'm sorry, you got to talk.
No!
Okay. All right. We'll let you slide this time. All right, anybody else? That was good, Ken.
Hey!
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, now you're going to change your mind.
Yeah, right.
No, sorry, you had your chance.
No.
Go ahead.
Actually, what I was going to say, you were talking about that 40-day fast, and God has told us that we're going to
extended Save another 40?
Huh? Yeah, all right. He's saying we're going to have salvation for our family and our friends. I think it might be something that'll happen to us, too. Not just the power to do something for our family and our brethren, but something within us. And, possibly even we might manifest these sons of God.
Well, you know, it goes through September the 23rd, and it very well could be. That's what I was talking about earlier, about coming into one accord in the heart. And when that happens, the anointing could possibly fall. Yeah, Andrew?
I got a verse about this fact, Isaiah 33:2. O Lord, be gracious to us, we have waited for you. Be their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. So that's the first verse I got in the first day.
Amen.
I got another one today, but
what is it?
Well, I got Jeremiah 11:7, and it talks about obey my voice and to be out of Egypt. And, there was a lot of stuff in today's proverb, too, that kind of helped me with 24, 5, and 6, and where it says, a wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety, which I think is really evident on what we're all praying for Trump and for the world, chapter 30, 24, 5 and 6, and 14 speaks about endurance. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. So, there's the knowledge again that was back in 5 there. So, it was just a real exciting time when I read this morning. I wish I could remember everything I was saying at that time. And, of course, in 19, it's talking about fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious. And there's at the wicked. And I think a lot of people miss out on that two-letter word there, at. And this is all the stuff that a lot of things that are happening in America, I think that this whole chapter here is something that has to be read to some of these people who even go to those other churches there. Because it's really talking about how a behavior, a loss of behavior here. There's the 27th one there. Prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. You need a lot of help to do that from the Lord to have this make it fit. Anyway, there was just a lot of goodies here, and there's about the the field and from 30 down, you know, the void of understanding people and what's going on. And it's too bad they wouldn't just read this verse, some of these people who are behaving the way they are, and just find the Lord through it and gain understanding. Anyway, that's all.
Boy, the world would be a lot better place, wouldn't it? Praise God. Okay, anybody else? Okay, Leon.
I got to ask Missy a question real quick. Just shake your head yes or no. Did you get Psalms 2 this morning? Psalm 2? No? Okay. Never mind. Let me read Psalm 2 to you. Let me get it here. Psalm 2, verse, it's got 12 verses in it. Let me read it for you. Why do the nations rage and the peoples meditate on a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds. Let us break their bonds. Their, not his bonds. Let us break their bonds and cast away the cords from us. He that sitteth in the heaven will laugh. The Lord will have them in derision. Then will he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will tell of the decree. The Lord saith unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask me, and I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. That's an important instrument. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Excuse me. Now therefore be wise, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish in the way. For his wrath will soon be kindled. Blessed are all they that take refuge in him. Now, this has always been attributed to kissing the Son and so on and so forth. Today I have begotten you. This has always been attributed to Jesus. And yes, in fact, it is. But I believe it's also attributed to us as sons of God. The fact that he says, I'm sorry. The fact that he said that let us break their bonds asunder would indicate that there was more people there. So this would be, and it's talking about the sons of God and kissing the Son of God. So this could be us in a sense. And we are given a rod of iron in Revelation 2. Revelation 2. I think verse 25. The overcomers are given a rod of iron. It's said that they will rule with a rod of iron. So there's different things in here that indicate that it could be us as opposed to just the Lord and his coming. And his epiphany is coming in us, gives us that power. So I thought that was interesting.
Amen. I think you're right. I think it could attribute that to the sons of God now.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, Tim.
There, trying to figure out this new machine. Along that same line in 2 Timothy about the eternity and also the ruling, 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I endure all things for the sake of, for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Faithful is the saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. And that ties a lot of it together in the New Testament.
Amen. Another Son of God passage there. I think you could attribute some of these to the man child as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Tim. Leon. Yeah, Andrew. Go ahead, brother. Help me to mute you, Leon.
You know what Leon read there about the laugh of the Lord. There's also another laugh in Proverbs 1:26. In 25 it says, "But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproofs. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." And, you know, this is the protection of the saints in this Psalm 2 that Leon spoke about. But this laugh here is somewhat of a different laugh that they tried to overthrow God's work that he's doing on this earth through his saints. And here, when it's finally overthrown, he gets the last laugh, I guess. That's the only way I can put it. I don't want to sound disrespectful or anything. It just says, because they didn't regard his word, and he is the word, and we're supposed to be in Christ.
Amen.
Who is the name called the Word of God? Aren't we supposed to be the name called the Word of God too? If we're going to receive a new name?
Amen.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Thank you, Father. It's been good tonight. A lot of participation. Need some more. Thank you, Father. Y'all hear that old chair of mine? Good gracious, that thing's squeaking and hollering.
I was just looking at Isaiah 6:2 there, and I think that the seraphim, I think that creature there does represent the body of Christ. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll go for it. Amen. What's that?
What was that verse?
Matt may have it up there on the chat board. Oh, no, let me see. Isaiah 6:2. Above him stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. It's full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. Amen.
In a different part of the Old Testament, they called that creature something else. I don't remember what it was, but it's pretty much the same creature. And it also describes him, and you can fit the body of Christ into that too. I should go look that up. I can't remember words.
Yeah. Well, the creature that was in Ezekiel, you know, that's Christ, his attributes. And that could be it also, you know. You could correlate all of it with the man-child, the sons of God, the you know, and they all, and Jesus, and all of those can be. Yeah, Leon, go ahead.
I was going to say Ken might be talking about Revelation, where the beasts or the creatures are around the throne of God, and they cry, holy, holy, holy. That's in Revelation 4, I believe.
You mean the four living creatures?
What's that?
You mean the four living creatures it talks
yeah.
about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. Let's see here what it says in Matthew 3.
Hello, Michael?
Yeah, Gano.
I was going to share a scripture from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10.
Okay.
For it became him for whom are all things and through whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And I just believe that that sort of goes along with what we're talking about tonight.
Amen. Amen. Blake doesn't know we're still on broadcast. That was him going by talking.
I just posted something I wrote a long time ago. I found it, and it covered that that six-winged creature. But anyway, it's just kind of my thoughts.
Yeah. You posted it in the chat.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Isaiah 6 and 2. Trash. Okay, anybody else? Anybody got a word out of the word?
I got one more, Michael, if you got a minute.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Okay, this one seems to be right on pace with what we're talking about tonight, too. We've probably all read it a million times, but in John 17, verse 6 on down, it says, I manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they know that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are from thee. For the words which thou gavest me, I have given unto them, and they received them, and knew of a truth that I came forth from thee, and they believed that thou didst send me. And it goes on there, but it, you know, just Jesus speaking right there about, you know, God giving the people that he will to Jesus, and that we're his now. So.
Amen. What was that scripture?
It was John 17, 6.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. You know, Paul said that Jesus is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. That's Colossians 1 and 18. You know, that's the thing that's going to happen in this time, too. It's going to be him that gets the glory. A lot of people leave him out of their theology, but it's the Lord that's going to do it. How is he going to do it? He's going to do it through his people, through all of his people that are in the man-child. He's the one coming with the latter rain. That's the Lord. He's coming with the former rain coupled with the latter rain. That's going to be a powerful, powerful, powerful ministry. But it's still Jesus coming to do it. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Go ahead. Leon, is that you? Mm-hmm. Hosea 6 and 2. Here it comes, folks. Listen. Hosea 6 and 2. After 2 days will he revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. And let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is sure as the morning, and he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. He will come unto us as the latter rain that watereth the earth. And you know what? That's the epiphany part of the Jesus thing. And of course, you know what the epiphany is. That's Jesus coming in his people. They're going to receive that blessing. The man-child ministry is going to receive that blessing here shortly. And Jesus is going to be the one that anoints the people to sit on the throne of David. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Leon.
We were studying the Jesus, or God will shepherd his flock. Jesus will shepherd his flock yesterday, and we did chapter 3. And in Jeremiah 33:15, I'll read a 14 through 16. And I got this word this morning at the morning meeting, And Jeremiah 33:14, he says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and concerning the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, and that time is now, I will cause a branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name whereby she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." Now this again is talking about Jesus, but it's talking about us as well, because Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." So when it's talking about the branch, it's not really talking about Jesus, it's talking about us. We are the branch of righteousness, and that's the word that the Lord will perform to Israel, which we are part of Israel, and to Judah. So I thought that was an appropriate verse to go along with what we're talking about tonight, too.
Amen. It sure was. Amen. That's, I don't know what's going to happen on that day that the Lord anoints that man child with the latter rain, but I suspect it's going to be something spectacular in the church. I'm not talking about in the world. I'm talking about in the church. I believe it's going to be a spectacular thing that happens.
Amen.
And I don't know, you know, I don't think it's going to be fireworks going off or anything like that, but I believe that people that's going to know who the man child is during that period of time, just like they knew that Jesus was. Yeah, go ahead, Leah.
It might be like the day of Pentecost, though, where the fires came down on their heads, and the people outside heard them and so forth.
Appreciate it, brother. Amen.
But yeah, it may be, I would say it would be beyond that. So it may be something miraculous that the world goes, "What's going on? You know, what's happening around here? What's the matter with these people? Are they drunk?"
Yeah, it could be.
But I'm thinking that it's going to play out at least the same, if not more.
Well,
now, what happened at Pentecost?
I believe at that time that he's going to anoint the bride with the fullness of the former rain.
Right.
And the man-child, of course, with both.
Right.
And, boy, that's going to be a fantastic. It could be. It could be, yeah. It could be tongues of fire going on over all of them and then lightning bolts coming out of heaven. Could be.
You talked about when the Pentecostal movement started out, that there were buildings where the fire of the Lord was coming out of the building, and they sent the fire trucks there, and there was no fire. It was the Holy Spirit happening to the people. So you can imagine that at least will happen. You know?
It was at Azusa Street and other places too. It didn't not only happen there, it happened other places. A fire went out the top of the building, and the neighbors would call the fire department and say, "Man, that place over there is on fire. Y'all need to get on down here." And they'd get down there, and it wasn't nothing but the Holy Spirit, you know, the fire of the Holy Spirit. I want to see that kind of stuff, you know. I want to see all that spectacular stuff, you know. I want to see Jesus more than all of it, but. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's exciting times we're coming into. Really is. Really is. You know, I was telling my wife today, I said, "You know what I want to see more than anything? I want to see legs grow out and arms grow out. I ain't never seen that. I ain't never seen somebody have an arm missing and like it did down there at Azusa Street, and they pray for him, and that arm grow all the way out within 8 seconds. Said the bone come out first, and then the flesh and veins and arteries and all that muscle and all that stuff came out right behind it. He said within 8 seconds that man had a arm and a brand new arm and hand and everything. And man, you don't think that won't bring some people to the knees? Ooh, glory to God. I'm telling you, it will. And that in blinding eye. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Could you imagine that guy going back home to his relative?
I want y'all to check this out. I got this arm. Y'all see this new arm? Jesus did that for me. Yeah, I can imagine. I tell you what, it'd be a revival going on in that man's family, won't it? Amen. Or even a leg. You know, there was a leg there that got grown out too. Yeah, go ahead, Leah.
Lots of these soldiers that came home,
yep,
you know, will have all of that happening. And the ones that trust the Lord. And then they'll be lining up. Heal me too. Heal me too.
Amen.
Be good.
You know, and you know, Jesus was bothered with, I say bothered, he was accosted all the time about people wanting to get healed from him, you know, and sometimes he just had to leave out and leave them behind. I believe that same thing's going to happen in the days ahead. Because, as y'all know, the apostate churches out there, all the big denominations, churches, don't believe in healing. And when it comes to pass, that's who's going to come against God's anointed. It's going to be those churches, the people, the leadership in them. Man, that's cutting into their Sunday tie there. I don't like that. But you know what? There's going to be a lot of people coming out of those things during that period of time. I believe it. I mean, every one of them. I don't, you know, I don't discount any of them not having some people coming out of them. Even some of these so-called cults, they're going to have people. I believe some Mormons are going to get saved. I believe Jehovah's Witnesses are going to get saved. I believe some of the famous people are going to get saved. You know, just on and on and on, because God is real. And when they see the anointing of God, they're going to know it's God. A lot of them, some of them won't. Some of them are discounted as the work of the devil. And when they do, they've consigned their place in eternity. Yeah, Leah.
I think the Satanists are going to get saved because they're going to see real power then. They think they got power with Satan, but it's nothing compared to what God's going to do.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I believe so. I believe so. This first 3.5 years, as far as the Gentiles are concerned, there's going to be a lot of people saved. I believe that there are more people going to be saved during the next 3.5 years than all the other years combined. I believe God's fixing to populate heaven, and he's going to be populating it with people that love him. And you know, it's, we've been, David has told us, the Lord has told him that, in other ways too, that, it's 1 Corinthians 13 is a love chapter, isn't it? First Corinthians or second, it's 1 Corinthians is a love chapter. And that's the one that he wanted us to focus on. The Lord did, wanted us to focus on, because the love of Christ in your heart is what saves people. The love of Christ in your heart. I heard a story about a famous lady that came to speak to a big, big auditorium full of folks. And this has been years and years ago. It hadn't been any time soon, but she was going to speak in front of a bunch of women. And, there was this was kind of like a homeless place, but it was an auditorium that they were going to have this meeting. Anyway, this homeless lady came in there, and or she saw this, when she was walking in the auditorium, she saw this lady sitting over on the curb, and she went over and started talking to her. And she told her, he said, God loves you. He said, I love you. She said, no, you don't. What do you want to tell that lie for? You don't love me. And then she sat down and she shared with her and told her that she loved her and showed the love of Christ to her and just loved her. And the lady that was running the auditorium said, I told her, said, you don't have time to sit here with this woman. She said, I've got all the time in the world. So she needs me worse than y'all do. You know, she needs God worse than y'all do. And made it plain that the love of Christ was that away with her, and she showed it. And during, after she did go in there to speak to these people, that lady that went with her, and the lady told her, said, that lady is full of hate. Says she's been kicked out of here more times than I can imagine, you know, because of her hate and anger and all that stuff. But the lady just loved on her, said all during the time that lady was speaking, that woman was right at her feet, watching and listening to everything she had to say, because she did show the love of Christ, and she knew it, and she experienced it. And that's what God's looking for out of all of us, too, is the love of Christ, not criticism, not condemnation. Grace, not condemnation. That's what I was looking for. Grace, not condemnation, is what God's looking for out of us. They already know that they're sinners and they're going to hell if they keep it up. You know? All we need to do is show them our love. And we do that by putting all of God in us that we can. Putting all of Jesus in us that we can. And we can put a lot in it. Amen. All right, we're kind of running out of time here. Has anybody got anything they'd like to add to what we've been? It's been a great night. I appreciate everybody's input tonight. That's a good subject, David. Thank you for it.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Anybody
else? I'd like to thank Tom. Here I am, Michael. The Lord showed me something here last week or so, because I've had a really physical life. I was a framer for 30 years, and so I worked real hard, and I did a lot of wear and tear on my body. And the Lord showed me, you know, He said in His Word that the Holy Spirit would bring things into your remembrance so you could pray about things. And your body does the same thing, you know, all your past hurts. Your body remembers too, and they bring it to your remembrance as you get older, things you did when you were young to, hurt yourself. And but you didn't pray about them back then. You didn't have the faith for it, at least I didn't. But now, when your body brings that back to remembrance, you can have faith for it and you can pray about it and believe God for your healing.
Absolutely, brother. I'm glad you brought that up. That's what God, has for all of His people is healing and deliverance from all of those things that we did back when we were young or back growing up and raising families and such, trying to make a living. Well, Lord, I just thank You for tonight. I praise You, Father, for the participation we had tonight, Father. That's an interesting subject, and Lord, it's one that it can go on and on and on talking about You, Lord, in us. And that's what we're all striving for. That's what we're all are believing for. And we're looking in that mirror and seeing Jesus, putting on our fresh pair of blue jeans and that nice little T-shirt we got on and just heading out to do what You want us to do, Lord. And we thank You, Lord, that You are walking with us. You're cleaning us up. You're getting us ready for this great happening, Lord. I ask, Lord, that You give us perseverance and endurance in the days ahead. And I thank You, Lord, that when it's over, we're going to be so blessed by the things that you do for us, Lord. I thank you for saving our families and saving our family and friends, Lord, that we've been praying for so many years. And I thank you, Lord, that there's a lot more folks out there that listens to the outreach that, Lord, they're doing the same thing. And their families are going to be saved and their loved ones are going to be saved. We just thank you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to drain that swamp up there in D.C. And you're going to help out President Trump with great and bold people that love the people of God and love the people of the United States. And I thank you, Lord, that that's happening even as we speak. And I praise you, Father, for your protection upon him and upon us and our families as well, in Jesus' name. Lord, give us a good night's sleep tonight. Give us dreams and visions. Thank you for the vision you gave Chris earlier. And we thank you for it, that it blessed Matt and Anna. Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that from now on, we're going to be getting something like that every night. And, Father, we just praise you, glorify you, and thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good night, saints. Hey, what do y'all want to talk about tomorrow night or next Tuesday? Anybody got it? Let me unmute everybody. Anybody got a subject? Huh? What's that, Barbara? What's that, Barbara?
She doesn't know she's unmuted.
That's why I was hollering at her. She didn't know she was unmuted. All right. Well, if I come up with something, I'll email everybody. And if y'all come up with something, email me, and I'll get it out to everybody. Amen. All right. Well, y'all be blessed, and we'll see y'all next Tuesday night, Lord willing. Hopefully, I'll be back in Tennessee then. And hope that Blake's going to go with us, too, hopefully.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Bless you all.
You guys are in my prayers, too.
Amen.
Thank you. Sure need that.